Wow, good morning, good morning, good morning. I am glad to see, wow, look at you guys. You came out this morning. I am so excited to see you guys this morning. Thank God for you. For those who don't know, let me see, I don't think so, but if this is your first time joining us here, my name is KP, and I greet you in the name of God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior, and the person of the Holy Spirit. Certainly welcome all of those that are joining online. We thank you guys so much for your faithfulness. And you're joining us when you cannot make it here in person. But don't forget, we are here in person for in-person service at 10 a.m. We'd love for you to come down and join us. And before we proceed, let me publicly say, because I said it to those who were here earlier, let me publicly thank our elder and brother Steve Tucker. I was away, and again, Pastor John was unable to come, and it is so comforting and encouraging knowing that you have someone that if you cannot be here for whatever reason, that there is someone willing to stand, and not just willing, but is able to stand and give us the word of God. So if you don't mind, join me, and let's thank God for allowing Steve Tucker that opportunity and that he was willing, if you would. Join me in thanking God for that. Thank you, brother, so much for that. We love you, and thank you for that. Real quickly, too, to you who are watching us online, I share it with those who are here already. I won't go into details, but this is a very personal, convicting message for me. I actually hope it proves to be the same for you as well. So I'm going to ask that you listen very intently. And I believe we can leave here today with a word that I believe will bless us and that we can use in the days to come. So to begin, I want you to think about something. Christ Jesus, he came into this world to save sinners. And my question to you is, do you ever really get over that? Do you get over that, that Christ saved you, you personally? You're sitting here, you're redeemed, or you're sitting there watching us live online. You're redeemed by the grace of God. Do that ever cease to amaze you? Does that make you marvel or wonder that Jesus Christ came into this world to save specifically you? That amazes me. But not only that he would just save me, what he did on the cross was enough to save all people. And that's what the Apostle Paul's perspective was. And we're going to look at one of the writings by the Apostle Paul today. But when you have the proper perspective that the Apostle Paul did, You don't begin to look at everything and how it impacts you. You look at everything and how it impacts the gospel. That's what the Apostle Paul did. Everything that he did began to be filtered through how does it impact the gospel? What does it mean for the gospel? How would this impact my ability to share the message of Jesus Christ? So today, together, we're going to look at the Apostle Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. For those who are joining us live online, it'll be put up on the screen. But before we look at the verses that we're going to look at, I want you to remember, two weeks ago, we were right here in 1 Corinthians even then, and we talked about freedom, God's way. And we looked at chapter 10, and I encouraged you when we did that message to go back and look at chapters 8 through 10 in your own time. And 2 weeks ago, though, we talked about the proper use of our freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And we learned that we have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Not everything is constructive. And then last week when I was away, Elder Steve Tucker came, and he stood before us with a message on anger. He reminded us that Scripture acknowledges our emotions or our feelings, that things may even anger us, but in that anger, we are not to sin. In the verses he used out of Ephesians 4, he reminded us that the words that come out of our mouths, they should only be those words that are helpful for building others up and being careful not to grieve the Holy Spirit by our treatment of one another. And I really like the acronym he used. If you guys were here or if you didn't hear it, please go back and listen last week. He used the acronym for THINK, T-H-I-N-K. T is, He says, ask the question, is it truthful? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And finally, in K, he asked the question, is it kind? Is it kind? And it's not that one or two of those must be true before you act or say anything. All of it must be true before you act or say anything. You should ask all of those questions. And if one of those questions, your answer is no, then don't say it. Don't do it. So even though we are free as Christians, our freedom is limited to the impact that it's going to have on another believer's growth. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. Paul encouraged them to, when we looked at it 2 weeks ago, Paul encouraged them to look at even the smallest of things, something like eating and drinking. He exhorted them, do it all to the glory of God. And then chapter 10 ends with Paul speaking of himself, saying that he is never seeking his own good, but the good of many. Now listen to this carefully, and we get ready to go where we're going today. He says he's never seeking his own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Talk about focus. The Apostle Paul was extremely focused on the main thing. And that's why I mentioned in the preview video for today that it never ceased to amaze me how the Apostle Paul, or how rather it never ceased to amaze the Apostle Paul, that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. So Paul's focus became so that others might be saved. We have to not only ask ourselves today, but be honest with ourselves. Is that our focus today? Is that our passion? Is that our zeal today? Or has the gospel message and our very own salvation, for that matter, has it become commonplace to us? Has it become old to us, if you will? Have our attitudes become, oh yeah, that's wonderful, but when are we gonna be done here, KP? Why don't you go ahead and wrap it up? We got the barbecue to get to this weekend. So today I want to show you how not only did the Apostle Paul understand that his freedom in Christ was limited by his impact on another person's growth in Christ, he was focusing on the believers when we did that message. Today I want to show you that he understood his freedom is further restricted by how what he says or what he does will impact the sharing of the message of Christ, now focusing on the unbelievers who could potentially become his brothers and sisters in Christ. So if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 19 through 23. Again, you can follow us online. We'll have it up on the screen. I will be reading from the NIV version in case mine read a little bit different from yours. 5 verses, then I'll let you get to that barbecue. So I am free and belong to no one. I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. Here's where we're going to draw our title for the text from the last verse. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Today's message is entitled, For the Gospel's Sake. For the Gospel's Sake. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, our eternal and our merciful Father, thank you. Thank you for this honor for all of us to be in your presence, Lord, to sit, to listen to your word. I pray for open ears and hearts for us all. Please grant us, God, the wisdom to understand and the grace to act on what we learn in here today. I pray that the word today is pleasing and acceptable in your sight, and that you and your great name is lifted in this place and glorified. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to listen intently. For the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. So again, I'm going to encourage you in your own time, please go back and read chapters 8 through 10 for the full context, because I believe in that context, all three chapters, Paul is using himself as an example of how you are to use your Christian freedom. A few verses back up in this very chapter of 9, in verse 12, Paul speaks about giving up his right to be supported by those he preached the word of God to, because he didn't want there to be any questions about his motives. So he says at the end of verse 12, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Now make the note and look at it again, because I'm going to read it to you again. Paul says, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. In other words, Paul says, whatever it takes for the gospel's sake. And that's his focus in these five verses from 19 to 23. In the first 18 verses, Paul speaks about giving up his rights. And now he further emphasizes that beginning here in verse 19. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul says, I am using my freedom to commit myself to slavery. Not slavery in the sense of whips and chains as one might think of in modern history, but in terms of I'm forfeiting my rights, he says, so that I might win more people to Christ. Paul asks the question in the very first verse of this chapter right here. He asks the question, am I not free? And so now he picks up that question and says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. Paul says, I want you to understand. I understand my freedom. I understand I'm free from everyone. I'm free from their restraints. I'm free from their restrictions. But to all people, I have made myself a slave to. Paul understood that it's not all about my freedom. It's not all about his rights. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how he could win more people to Christ. And for that, Paul says, I gladly give up all my freedom and make myself a slave to everyone. You see, we start getting all caught up in the debates and all of the discussions and arguments about our freedoms and our freedom as a citizen and us being free in Christ, and that nobody's going to put any restraints on me. Nobody's going to stop my freedom. But what we don't realize, we are no longer defending the gospel then. We're defending our own selfish ideas. Paul says, I'm ready. I'll enslave myself to everyone. That's how he went about doing the ministry that he had been entrusted with. Paul says, I consider myself their slave. How can I serve them in such a way that they would hear the gospel and have the least possible obstacle to responding to that message of Jesus Christ? Paul wrote to the Galatians, and you can make the note in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul wrote to them and says, for you were called to freedom. Same word that we got in our text in 1 Corinthians. He says, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve, that's the same word as making yourself a slave, but through love, serve one another. In other words, act like a slave to one another. Use your freedom to act like a slave. Do not use your freedom to do as you would please or as you would desire, but use your freedom to serve others. Others being those believers in helping them grow. Non-believers in helping them come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So Paul says at the end of verse 19 there in 1 Corinthians here, he says, to win as many as possible. Win for what? He's not talking about to win the debate, but win the salvation of the non-believer. And we're about to see that Paul was always looking and asking himself, how can I use my freedom in Christ to win more? Paul was always looking at it from the perspective of for the gospel's sake. And so now here in verse 20, he gives an example. He says, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. Now you got to understand, Paul himself was a Jewish man. He could function as a Jew and live with the Jews. He had no problem with that. He didn't have to, because he knew, as he wrote to Galatians, that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. But being a Jew or so he understood that being a Jew or not being a Jew has nothing to do with his relationship with Christ, and that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. So Paul knew, I'm free. I'm free from the obligations that I might have had as a Jew. But Paul says, that doesn't mean, though, that I can't function as a Jew when I'm with the Jews. If you were here this past Wednesday for our Bible study as we're going through Acts, we just elaborated on this in our study. But he says in verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew. I know I'm not obligated under the law. I know I'm free from those obligations, but when I'm with the Jews, I'm also free to still act like a Jew. And it's okay. And he goes on to say, to those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Paul knows that he is no longer under the Mosaic law. He's no longer under the Mosaic law. But you know what? That doesn't mean he can't observe certain things in the law if it was going to be more effective for him in his witnessing to the Jews. Paul understood that he had that flexibility in Christ Jesus. And that's why back in chapter 8, verse 8 of this same book, he says, food does not bring us near to God. We're no worse if we don't eat it, and no better if we do eat it. So Paul says, you know what? I even though I'm a Jew, I can have a ham sandwich. But that doesn't mean I have to have the ham sandwich. He doesn't have to flaunt his freedom and say, I'm getting a ham sandwich and I'm buying ham sandwiches for everybody. He doesn't have to do that to try to prove his liberty or the freedom that he has in Christ Jesus. You may be sitting there and you may be wondering, well, shouldn't we try to prove that we're not bound by certain things, that we're free in Christ Jesus? There are certain things that are non-issues you don't have to try to prove anything about. And all you're doing is you're proving how selfish or incompetent you are, that you feel like you got to flaunt your freedom when you know it's going to offend. I'm going to be careful there. I'll come back to that. But why make it an issue when, like Steve Tucker says, when it's not necessary? Paul says, you're not better if you eat. You ain't gonna be better if you don't eat it. So why do you want to make a distraction, cause a distraction and bring attention to something that's a non-issue? Paul says, remember, think about it for the gospel's sake. Just have a salad. So Paul says, I am not under the law. But that doesn't mean that when I am with those who are under the law, I can't choose to do that. As long as we don't compromise the gospel. Remember, because Paul had to rebuke Peter in Galatians, because Peter, he was eating with the Gentiles, and then when some Jews came down from Jerusalem, he separated himself. And Paul ended up having to rebuke him, saying that what he was doing, that the Jew, he was sending a message like the Jews were better than the Gentiles. And so in that particular instance, Peter was being inconsistent. And so the problem was, whether it wasn't that Peter was making an adjustment there, Peter was being a hypocrite. And so Paul had to address him on it. So there are those things again, and you heard me say this 2 weeks ago, the non-issue things, the things that are not laid out black and white in Scripture. Don't make those things issues. Believers are, we are great for thinking that we're defending our freedom and making big issues, overblown issues out of things that the Bible don't even make an issue out of.
And we gotta be careful about that, because we gotta pattern ourselves after the Apostle Paul. We gotta remember everything that we say and do is for the gospel's sake. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, I'm thinking of how will this enable me to share the gospel with them more effectively? So rather than giving a debate at lunch with the Jews over sandwiches, Paul says, let me just take that out of the equation. I'll just remove that out of the way. And I'll be like they are. And I'll wonder what they want to eat. And I'll just eat what they're eating. I'll eat like they am, and then I can have a talk with them. Let me talk to you about Jesus Christ. Paul was always thinking about his freedom and how it could best be used to reach. Look at what it said at the end. We've seen it twice now. So that I can win more. Do you and I think like that? Now you can see why this message was so convicting. KP, is everything that you say and everything that you do, is it always from the perspective of to win more? Is it always for the gospel sake? Are you consistent, KP, with everything that comes out of your mouth, whether it's verbally, whether it's on social media or what? However, KP, is it for the gospel sake? Look at verse 21. To those not having, so 20 was to the Jews, to those who are under the law. Paul says, I will become like a Jew. They're the same people. Jews are under the Mosaic law. He's speaking about the same group of people. Whatever I had to become when I was around them without compromising the word, I would do that so that I might win some for the gospel's sake. Now in 21, he looks at a second group of people. And you'll see this throughout the Bible. It's usually divided into two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, Jews and everybody else. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law. There it is again, so as to win those not having the law. So to those not having the law, the Gentiles, because they never did live under the Mosaic law, so when he says, when I'm among the Gentiles, I don't have to make any issue about the Mosaic law. I don't have to say, you got to start doing this and doing that. It's a non-issue. Well, it may be an issue for the Jews. Well, when I'm around the Jews, then I'll deal with that way. But when I'm around the Gentiles, I'll make adjustments for them. Let me refer you to our Bible study in Acts again. In Acts chapter 16, Timothy was part Jew and part Gentile. Paul had him circumcised so that his ministry could be more effective with the Jews knowing that Timothy was a part Jew. But then when it came down to Titus, who was a Gentile, and the Judaizers wanted Paul to have Titus circumcised, Paul said, oh no, we're not going to do that. Because they wanted him circumcised so, as an addition to his salvation. And Paul said, wait, now that's compromising now. So we got to be careful. We got to know enough scripture to know when we can make the adjustments and when we can't make the adjustment. But it's sad that the principles that Paul is talking about here, it is mostly misused even in the church today, and it hinders the gospel rather than promote the gospel. Look at verse 21 again. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. This is very key. Though I am not free from God's law, but I am under Christ's law. That's something very important stated there. Paul says, I am without law, and I live without the law. I understand that. I'm not under the Mosaic law. He says, but I'm not free from under God's law. I am under the law of Christ. In other words, I am accountable to God to do everything God has told me to do as a believer. I am under no obligation to do anything he has told me not to do. So even though we're not under the Mosaic law, there are those things that's under the law of God or under the law of Christ. And I'm thinking about this, I said, I'm going to have to give some examples because I didn't want to confuse anybody. Under the Mosaic law, because sometimes you have people say, you got to obey the Ten Commandments. See, and you're putting people under the Mosaic law. But we still have to be careful because there are those things that are required under the Mosaic law that are also required under the law of Christ. Here's an example. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's under the Mosaic law. That's not under the law of Christ. However, the other nine commandments under the Ten Commandments, they actually fall under the law of Christ. Stuff like do not steal, do not kill, those types of things. Those things would fall under the two greatest commandments, to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I can never tell someone you must obey the Ten Commandments, but I also must warn every believer, though, you are not free to do everything you want to do. You are accountable to God. You are accountable to the law of Christ, which everything falls under love. If you go and look at those other nine commandments of the Ten Commandments, you'll see that those nine fall under the two greatest commandments. Because if you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to steal from him. You're not going to bear false witness. You're not going to lie to him. If you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, you're not going to put any graven images before him. So all of those fall under the law of Christ. But we have to be careful, because we'll take this scripture and we'll twist it, or we'll misuse it and think that, oh, you've got to, oh, that's the Mosaic law. I don't have to do that. Be careful with your freedoms. But you got to learn and start studying the scripture so you know when and what you cannot do. The whole book of Galatians is about the fact that we're not under the Mosaic law. So he says, I'm not under the law. I can be with the Gentiles and not be concerned about keeping the Mosaic law. However, I can be with the Jews, and there may be things that they're practicing that it's not an issue whether I practice it or not, but if I'm going to be more effective, I don't have a problem doing it. And we talked about that Wednesday night. He doesn't have a problem doing it. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ said when he walked the earth, if you love me, you'd keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll keep the Mosaic commandments. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I believe we have to know the difference there. So Paul finishes verse 21 the same way as 20. So as to win those not having the law. Why does he do it? What does he say? I do it for the gospel's sake. Look at verse 22. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, here it is again, I might save some. Now remember, now you need to understand here, when he says to the weak, he's not talking about a brother or sister here. He is talking about a non-believer, because he says by all possible means, he might save some. So if he's talking about saving somebody, he's not talking about a brother or sister, he's talking about an unbeliever. So in this context, he's speaking of unbelievers. To the weak, I became weak. It's like what Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6. And you make the note and look at it in your own time. It says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ came and died for the ungodly. That word powerless, at just the right time. Powerless means when we were weak, Christ died for us. So to the weak, to the helpless, I became helpless. To the weak, I became weak. Paul never had the problem that some of us have. I don't want to be around those dirty sinners. I don't want to be around somebody that's immoral. I don't want to be around a homosexual. I don't want to be around somebody that's done drugs. I don't want to do anything like that. People who do this and that. But no. The scripture says you shouldn't be a partaker of those deeds, but you do know your Lord and Savior would criticize for being a friend of sinners, don't you? He would eat with sinners. Jesus Christ's attitude wasn't that I need to be as far away from the sinners as I possibly can be because I don't want to get defiled. That wasn't his attitude. How can I get the kind of attitude that Jesus had, the one who knew no sin, who come in and become a friend of sinners? He said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners. How are we going to bring, for the gospel's sake, how are we going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ and his message of salvation for sinners if we don't want to be around sinners? It doesn't make any sense. How is a sinner ever going to be redeemed? You know how? By God's grace, he's going to send one of us. We're going to be the messenger who will come in here. And by God's grace, that person will believe. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Sometimes our greatest complaints are about our greatest opportunities. Hint, message, hint. I'm going to say it again. Sometimes our greatest complaints are about our greatest opportunities that we have. I'm going to give you two examples, one from the Bible and then one from a current situation that I was personally involved in. In Philippians, we're not turning there. In Philippians, Paul is a prisoner of Rome when he writes the letter to the Philippians. But when you look at that letter, Paul doesn't write about his hardships or about his suffering, his pain, his difficulties. Those are not the things that consume Paul. Everything that Paul writes in that letter is filtered through how does this impact the gospel? What does it mean for the gospel? How will it impact my ability to share the message of Jesus Christ? And you might think that when you read it, it's a short book, but you might think in that book you're going to find where Paul is going to talk about again how difficult it is to be a Roman prisoner, how difficult it is. He has no privacy that's there now. He's got this Roman soldier watching him 24 hours a day. He's restricted. There are certain places he can't go to. I can only imagine if it was uncomfortable for him to even sleep at night and so on, all those things. But you know what Paul says? I do want you to make the note of this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, Paul says, I want you to know, brethren, that what has happened to me, talking about his imprisonment now, he says, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Instead of complaining about his situation, he says, this what has happened to me is a good thing. It has happened to me to advance the gospel. My circumstance has turned out for a greater progress of the gospel. My circumstance is that I'm a prisoner in Rome. My circumstance is that I have no more privacy. I'm uncomfortable all the time. I got this Roman soldier watching me all the time. All of this stuff is for the advancement of the gospel. And this is what Paul meant. This is what I love. I want you to read that letter carefully. Paul recognized that him being in there is how all of the guards heard about the gospel. See, Paul couldn't, if he wanted to preach to the guards, he wasn't just going to walk up there. Can you get all the guards to come out? I want to talk to them about Jesus Christ. That's not how it happened. That's not how it happened. But look, you know how it happened? God ordained for Paul to be put in that position. And Paul says, I recognize now that this has happened because there's no other way all of these praetorian guards were going to hear the gospel unless I was in here this way. So Paul always understood it from the perspective, for the gospel's sake, God allowed me to even be in this position. For the gospel's sake. I kind of laughed to myself because I kind of use that sanctified imagination. Paul is there, he's sitting there, and he's like, I ain't going nowhere. And here's this Roman, buddy, you can't, they couldn't just get up and leave when they wanted. They had to always have eyes on. Talk to you about this man I know. And he shares the gospel. And then when you read Philippians, it says all of the guards heard about the gospel. Because, you know, they would switch out, take turns. And Paul, instead of sitting there murmuring and complaining, next man come in, I ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere. I'll tell you about a man I know. He always was speaking about the gospel. And that was just amazing to me. He didn't write to the Philippians saying, I can't, y'all pray for me. Pray that I get out of here. I can't endure it any longer. I'm ready to rejoice with y'all. Paul says, I got a unique opportunity to share the gospel. Another example is a very current example from a conversation I had recently with one of our own members. She was in the hospital, and she was having a difficult time with the staff. One nurse in particular was giving her a very hard time to the point our member just wanted out of there. I'm done with these people. I want out of here. They're not treating me right. And I get it. I understand. But here's what I asked that member, or here's what I relate to that member. I said, what if the nurse is the assignment? What if the nurse is the assignment? And what I meant by that, what if this is a unique opportunity for this nurse to hear the gospel? Because I believe that's the way the Apostle Paul would have looked at it. And I believe what our member said, if everything about that nurse is true, their behavior and how they speak to you, then certainly that was a person that needed to hear the gospel. And it makes me wonder if we sit and we lay and we complain about certain things when God is saying, I get it. I know it's uncomfortable for you. I get all of that. But I put you in this position for a unique reason, for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. Paul says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. And again, this particular verse, it really gets taken out of the context. Even in the church today, we use it to partake in ungodly things, or we use it to water down the gospel. And let me just say this. When Paul says, I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might say something, that don't mean you have to participate in ungodly things. And you should never, ever compromise. Where Paul never changes the message. The things that are non-issues, we can adapt. But there are things that are so clear, we have to stand firm on. You never, ever change the message of Jesus Christ. I never try to make sin look like it's okay. Sin is what separates us from God. You never, ever water down the message. But the non-issue things, we adapt. One more verse. Let's look at it. 23. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. Paul says here, I want to share together in the gospel. Paul understood he can't save anyone. Only Jesus Christ can do that. But the believer has the privilege to share in that by taking the message to sinners. And that's how we share in its blessings. It is an honor. It is a privilege. It is a blessing that God would use you and I to carry the message of the gospel to a sin-sick and a lost world. But sadly, for many of us, that's not our perspective. But this is how Paul uses his liberty, his freedom. Paul says, I have freedom to do a lot of things. I have the freedom not to do a lot of things. But Paul says, everything I do, I sift it through this one thing. I look at it from the perspective of for the gospel's sake. I shared with a good brother this week, I said, I have seen nowhere in scripture where Jesus fought for individual moral battles. You won't find it. Go read the Gospels again when he walked the earth. You will not see that Jesus fought small moral battles. Now, when unbelievers, particularly the Jewish leaders, would approach him with moral issues to try to trick him, of course, obviously he addressed it then, only when they brought it up. His only focus, when you watch the life of Jesus, was preaching the kingdom of God and going around doing good and trying to help people. That's all he did. And I believe that's why 2 weeks ago when we got to chapter 11, we did the first verse of chapter 11, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul says, I recognize what Jesus did. Everything was about the kingdom of God. And so Paul says, so now I just order my life for the gospel's sake. And of course, I wouldn't be KP if I didn't get a little bit messy, right? In the end. Gonna be a little messy. Do you want to see the ungodly Democrat saved? Do you want to see the ungodly Republican saved, depending on what side you fall on? Or is it more important to you as a Christian to fight for your party? I shared with that brother that we're missing the point. It has to be about the gospel's sake. See, Jesus talking about the kingdom and Paul preaching about what Jesus Christ has done, it takes care of all those other things. Because guess what? If everything that we desired for our country to look like, if it became that, would it be a better place to live in? Absolutely. But it wouldn't change nobody's eternal destination. That's the problem. We have a better world to live in, however long you lived in it, but it won't change their eternal destination. It has to be about the gospel's sake. Quit getting riled up and thinking if this happened, that happened, this happened, that happened. God is in complete control. He has sent us to focus on what we're supposed to be doing. But because we live in a self-centered world, let me remind us of Jesus' instructions to his 12 disciples when he walked the earth. Not yet. But in Mark 10, he called them together and he said these words to them. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them. The high officials, they exercise authority over them. He says, that's not the way I want it to be with you. Instead, this is the way I want it to be with you. Whoever wants to become great among you, they must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first, go look at it, Mark chapter 10, they must be slave to all. That's what he says there. Paul understood that. And he goes on to say, Jesus says in that context, for the Son of Man did not come to be served. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. Look, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So the Apostle Paul, he's just modeling his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the things that I thought about, and I'm getting ready to close here in a second. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, he recognized himself, he believed himself to be the chiefest of sinners. And I believe that, and it's hard to imagine the Apostle Paul. Y'all know he persecuted the church, but it's hard to imagine him being the chiefest of sinners. But the point is, I think we're all supposed to realize and view ourselves that way. And if you view yourself as the chiefest of sinners, then maybe it'll change your perspective, because if God was willing to save you, then why don't I live for the gospel's sake so that he might save many, many more? He is God's Savior sent for us. Let me say this to the unbeliever. Repent of your sins. Accept Jesus Christ's death on the cross as full payment of your sins and receive his forgiveness. He too died for your sins. He wants to be your Savior, and he will credit you with his righteousness. One more scripture that we're all familiar with. If you'll pull up Matthew 28 for me, verses 19 and 20. Look at these verses real quickly. I'm going to make a comment about it, and then we'll close. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Back up to 19 again. Look at what it doesn't say. Therefore, go and prove your points in debate and battle. All of this is for the gospel's sake. Go and make disciples of all nations, commanding them to do whatsoever. And I'll promise you, I'll be with you to the end of the age. To the believer sitting here today, or if you're watching online, I say to you, mind yourselves for the gospel's sake. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's so easy to look at the life of the Apostle Paul, God, and see his passion for the gospel. I just pray for all of us now, God, that we would have that same desire, that same passion, that single focus, that to realize that Jesus Christ didn't come to be served, but to serve, and that he came to give his life for all of us. And now we have that privilege. We have that honor, God, those of us who are redeemed, to give ourselves, slave ourselves to others for the gospel's sake, God. I pray now, Father, that you would take our eyes off ourselves, and that we would not focus on our difficulties or our problems, that we won't consider the hardships that we're going through, but realize that your perfect and divine plan is working itself out, and that you may very well be presenting us golden opportunities for the gospel's sake. God, I acknowledge Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners, and that the main thing that you require of me, though you have set me free, is that I am to use that freedom to lead others to you. I pray that become the convictions of all of our hearts. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you guys so much for being here today or joining us live. At this time, we give you an opportunity. We're getting ready to observe communion. Wow, I love what God seems to do on first Sunday when we observe communion. It really be, though, at least for me. Let me speak. I say for me. I speak for myself. At least for me, it usually be that message that he really presses for me to examine myself. But we always give you an opportunity right here at the end. If you want to kneel before the altar, you can come to my left, your right, and kneel and pray, and nobody will bother you. Or if you want someone to come along beside you and encourage you and pray with you, you can kneel at my right, your left. You can do that right at home. Please kneel right where you are. Again, this was the most personal convicting message for me. It made me, I sat out there and I could hear the word screaming in my head, for the gospel's sake. The one thing, the main thing Jesus Christ came to do was to die for our sins. And we spend more time about other things than that main thing. So as Joy plays softly here, we'll give you some time here if you want to come. I ask that you all please stand as here today. And again, right where you are, if you want to come, won't you come? Just play softly for us.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. Trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. For Jesus shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save. Save you now. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Amen, amen. Okay, as we prepare, you guys may be seated. I'm sorry, you may be seated. As we prepare to observe Holy Communion, remember, while there are many things I can adapt to and it's in the other's best interest, when it comes to how to obtain this freedom, there's no compromise, there is no adapting. There's only one way. And this is why we celebrate and we observe this communion, because it's only because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only Savior that God has sent into this world. And for that reason, on the night that he would be betrayed in that upper room, he shared with them this communion, and he told them, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. And so that's why we observe this. So yes, we use our freedoms and we try to be wise so that we can make sure we can be very effective for the gospel. But when it comes to salvation, there's only one Lord, one Savior, one baptism. And it's only because of the finished works of Jesus Christ that any of us have the freedoms that we have in God. Amen.